Good morning, everybody. Isn't it a beautiful morning? I love freshness like this that kind of brightens up the day after we've had really hot weather. It's just sublime, almost. Welcome to our service here at the Vines this morning, and to those of you who are watching online, welcome also. Just a little bit about today and what today is in the eyes of at least the UCA around Australia. Since 2019, the Uniting Church has marked the Sunday before Australia Day as a day of mourning to reflect on the dispossession of Australia's First Peoples and the ongoing injustices faced by the First Nations people in this land. So today, as we gather to worship, we acknowledge the Kaurna peoples, the first inhabitants of this place from time beyond remembering. We acknowledge that through this land, God nurtured and sustained the first peoples of this country, the Aboriginal and Islander peoples. We honour them for their custodianship of the land on which we gather today. We acknowledge that the first peoples had already encountered the Creator God before the arrival of the colonizers. The Spirit was already in the land, revealing God to the people through law, custom, and ceremony. We acknowledge that the same love and grace that was finally and fully revealed in and through Jesus Christ sustained the first peoples and gave them particular insights into God's ways. And so we rejoice in the reconciling purposes of God found in good news about Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
You have called us out of darkest night into your glorious light, that we may sing the wonders of the risen Christ. May our every breath retell the grace that broke into our strife with boundless love and deepest joy within.
Is the Lord of
Father, we praise you and thank you that we can sing and worship and praise you through song, music, life. Lord, as we have sung, may we be people of grace. May our lives be lives of grace, open to you, open to all people, to our neighbours, to our friends, to the people around the corner, wherever we come across people, Lord, may we truly be all that you desire us to be as we live out our relationship with you, Jesus, with your Father, and with your Spirit. And so we give you praise and thanks for all of that, Lord. Let's pray again. Gracious God, we have not loved you with our whole heart, nor have we loved First Peoples, nor have we loved our neighbours as ourselves. God of mercy, forgive us our failures, past and present, and give us the grace today to make a fresh start. By your Spirit, transform our minds and our hearts that we may love as you have loved us, that we may boldly speak your truth and courageously do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bring on the whiteboard.
Woo-hoo. Hey, good to see you all. Hope you're well. Are we doing well?
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. Hey, look, some notices. Now, today our theme, I'm the light of the world, but we also recognise that Australia Day is coming, and for some people it's a real mixture of feelings and experience. Remember listening to an Indigenous comedian who came up with this great alternative date. He said, look, we're Australians. You know, it should be mate, 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 mate. I thought it was very good. Anyway, it was really good. And so I like that. So if there's ever an alternate date for Australia Day, May 8 has my vote.
Don't give up
the date. So January, there's no tea or coffee because we're just keeping it simple. February, it'll reboot. And again, if you'd like to join in with a tea and coffee roster, the Crofts up the back, give them a bit of a hoi. Again, services during January are a bit shorter. It's nothing personal. It just keeps it simple. We get flow. It's all good. Friday Friends is happening again this coming week. Let's have a look. First Friday Friend 2023, this coming Friday, 10 to 11:30. Love to see you all there. Drag your neighbours along. If you bump somebody into the shops, drag them along too. Look, it's all good. And really got some exciting news from Kath Tweedy. You know, she had a little grandson who, who had an operation and a whole pile of dramas. And the good news is she wants to let everybody know that they're going home. It's they're better. So she wishes to pass on to the church family, thank you for your prayers and support for a great grandson, Max. She's pleased to report that he's doing well and the family returned to Broken Hill on Thursday. So that's great. That's good. And we continue to keep our little babies and others in the forefront of our minds. And I hope things continue to work out well. All right. So, kids, I'm going to try and rattle some things together today. A couple of different ideas. So, when we go for a walk, what do we need? All right. So, okay. So, when we go for a walk, we need a
bag.
A bag, a backpack. What else do we need here? Sam, can you hold that for me, please? And feel free to use it. All right. So what else do we need?
Hat.
Hat. Snacks. Yes, we like snacks. But I haven't got snacks. What about this?
Shoes.
All right, that's one.
That's
two. All right. What about this? What is that?
A sock for Christmas.
No, it's not a sock for Christmas. It's called a camelback. It's like, you know, camels have humps. You put water in it. It's a camelback. You stick that on there. And that's no snacks. I must have eaten them on the way here. But look, when we go walking, we have all these extra things with us, don't we? Now, today, as Christians, when we're walking through life, what other things do we need? It's a good question. Well, Rob was talking right at the beginning of the year about putting on love with our shoes, putting on love. So when we walk with love. So I'm thinking today, what about if we, as Christians, are walking with hope? And she's not here today. That would have been very funny. But hope's not here. Oh, if you're watching on, I thought of you, Hope. I did think of it. What does hope mean? All right, bring that microphone up, Sam. All right. And let's see, our last one. So, okay, come bring it around. We're gonna do some work. I got one already, you see. What are we gonna come? Bashful fun, come on, get up here. So I thought hope could mean help, other people.
Love other people?
This is it, look. Help other people love. That's what hope could be. So imagine, so when we go and walk and put all this stuff on, but as Christians we have to put on hope. And what does hope mean? Help other people love.
And one heart.
And a love heart too. So that's my theme Sunday school talk for kids today. I spent hours coming up with this idea. So thank you. Can you decorate it for me over on this side? I'll give you some pens, you can draw some other stuff, all right? Let me say a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your love and life. We thank you for the children in our midst. And we continue to ask that your spirit would fill them with your life and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. Good job. Yes. All right. Let me chuck this down here and you can draw some more pictures.
I invite us all to stand again. And we're going to sing, I Am the Light of the World.
I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to and be. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the shepherds have found their way home, the work of Christmas is begun. I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. To find the lost and lonely one, to heal the broken soul with love, to feed the hungry children with warmth and good food, to fill the earth below the sky above. I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. To free the prisoner from all chains, to make the powerful care, to rebuild the nations with strength of goodwill, to see God's children everywhere. I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. To bring hope to every task you do, to dance at a baby's new birth, to make music in an old person's heart and sing to the bells of the earth. I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be.
I am the light.
I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be.
Amen. Please take your seats. Father, we praise you and thank you that you are a giving God, that you love us abundantly, that you give to us abundantly, that you've given us life and hope and love and freedom in and through your Son, Jesus, our Saviour. And so, Lord, we commit to you our offerings this morning. Pray that you will use them as we seek to serve you in this community and as we seek to reach out beyond the walls of this building. And we commit them to you in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. You can remain seated for this one.
As we step from the edge of morning, feet can't tell where to take us. Here's a light that will shine forever. Here's the light that will guide us. Jesus, please watch over us. Jesus, please take care of us. Trouble comes and we search for safety. We forget that you hold us. Fill our minds so that we remember. Say once more that you love us.
Jesus, please watch over us.
Us at every moment, death is never in hiding. You are stronger than any danger, you are stronger than dying. Jesus, please watch over us.
Let us pray. Our Father, this week we face a time of mixed emotions as we come to January the 26th, Australia Day. To most, it signifies the start of our nation of Australia, and we like to celebrate that occasion. But we are aware that there was already an Indigenous nations of people on this land. And to them it is a day of invasion, a day of disposition, the time of the start of persecution, and history records many wrongs that have been done. Father, we ask for your blessing and guidance on the important issue that's been discussed in our Parliament, which will result later when we know the detail and form. Do you support an alteration to the Constitution that establishes an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice? We ask for your guidance and help on that question. Give us the courage to accept the realities of our history so that we may build a better future for our nation. Teach us to respect all cultures. Teach us to care for our land and the waters. Help us to share and share justly the resources of this land. Help us to bring about spiritual and social change to improve the quality of life for all people in our communities, especially the disadvantaged. Help all young people to find true dignity and self-esteem by your spirit. May your powers and love be the foundations on which we walk together as a first and as a second peoples, and build our families and our communities and our nations. We ask that you will forgive our preoccupation with belief rather than action, our involvement in the greed, compromise and hardness of our world, our distrust of those who talk with a strange accent or dress in an unusual clothes or have a different skin colour. We ask you to hear us, O Lord, that you will teach us to recognise the cries of those who are too weak to help themselves. Make us more sensitive to the problems and the fears which lie at our door, and strengthen us to face with courage and determination whatever loss, inconvenience, or misunderstanding is needed to put things right. We ask you to hear us, O Lord, that you will rescue our worship from this day from trivial issues, narrow horizons, and superficial concerns, and cast down the false gods we have fashioned through prejudice, self-interest, fear, or wishful thinking. We ask you to hear us, O Lord, that you will increase in us spontaneity, friendliness, and insight, so that in times of personal perplexity and difficulty, we may still, as a community, provide the focus for true wisdom, genuine understanding, and quiet optimism. We ask you to hear us, O Lord, that you will strengthen us to battle against unfair housing, unequal educational opportunities, and narrow sectarian loyalties, and enable us to be appreciative of the things that we take for granted, perceptive towards the things we ignore, and fair towards the things against which we rebel. We ask you to hear us, O Lord. Amen.
I think I recall we had a very short reading last Sunday. Today's is even shorter. It's one verse, and it comes from John chapter 8. And in context, it comes in at a time when everybody had been questioning Jesus' authority. Who was he? Who is he, this man? Is he someone who thinks he knows who he is, or is he really the Messiah? And that follows into the story of the woman who was caught in adultery, which is in some of the manuscripts, not all of them, but that's okay. I'm happy that it's there. I love it. And Jesus says to her, after, you know, all the rock throwers had disappeared, at Jesus' question, where he said to them, "Let the one who is without sin throw the first stone." And Jesus says to her, after they'd all gone, she says, "Does no one condemn you? Neither do I. Go and leave your life of sin." And then we hear this. Later, Jesus talked to the people again. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. They will have the light that gives life." talking to you and me, talking to us, we will never walk in darkness.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day. We thank you for the air that we've been able to breathe, for life and opportunity. As we think about these words, we ask that you would give us an insight into our lives and the application of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, it's been a good month. We've had some great themes. We start off at the beginning of the year with Marge helping us focus for the year and think about that. But then we had Jackie sharing her story about an ordinary woman. And then last week we were privileged to also hear Rosalie, who was talking about the faith that was a part of her life and that perseverance that has been, I think, a family trait. And also amongst that hard sharing came words of hope. Adrian's theme from last week, When Christmas is Over, really caught my imagination. I really liked it because what happens when Christmas is over? You know, we were talking about packing away the Christmas tree. Has anybody still got their Christmas tree up? No, thankfully I put mine down the other week. But it reminds me of, you know, what happens when some things are over. So I was thinking about that, and these are some of the things that came up. When the party is over, we have to clean up. When the grandchildren leave, we can have a sleep. When the grand final is over, pre-season begins again. When your coffee is finished, time for another one. When school is over, uni, work, life begins. When the holidays end, it's back to work, back to school, whatever. When breakfast is over, it's time for morning tea. Time for lunch, time for afternoon tea. Can you think of another, when one thing is over, something else begins? Can you think of something? Yes. Breakfast. When breakfast is over, yes. Look, but it's an interesting thing. When one thing ends, something else begins. So, I'm the light of the world. The verse I particularly like out of this song on the next slide is... I'm the light of the world. When the song of the angels is still, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the shepherds have found their way home, the work of Christmas is begun. Now, I think this Christmas coming, I'm going to do some talking about the kings, and we'll unpack that a bit more, the magi, or the wise people. But what a great verse. What happened to the shepherds and the magi when they went home after seeing Jesus? We never hear that story, do we? We don't know. Can you imagine the shepherds coming home after seeing this Messiah, the baby? And, did it change their lives? Shepherds ride, the shepherds come home. Hi, honey, I'm home. That's nice to hear. Don't forget to fix the fence. Or maybe when the Magi come home after the big convoy across the sands and through the different nations and their caravan and their security guards, they finally come home and I'm home. That's okay, you've been away for a while. Don't forget you've got to meet the Queen of Sheba next week. You've put her off long enough. I don't know. Who knows what happens with these people's lives? But it's like, what happened? What influence did meeting this Messiah have? So much effort. Like Christmas, we put so much effort into preparing Christmas, don't we? I was talking to someone who said the other day that, thankfully they weren't having Christmas at their house last year, but they still spent 3 days preparing for it and taking all the food somewhere else. So it's a lot of effort and work, isn't it? Yes? Or is it just me and I'm the idiot who's just doing all this extra work? No, all right. So what happens when Christmas is over? Apart from a fridge full of food, lots of wrapping paper and stuff, what is it? And we've talked a little bit about the physical stuff, but what about the spiritual stuff? What happens when Christmas is over? Now, for our community, I guess it's like, well, the holiday is over. I have to go back to work. What does Jesus mean? You know, we're opposite a public school where, you know, you really can't mention anything about Jesus. You can't even wear a cross. In fact, my kids used to go to private school. They couldn't even wear a cross necklace. You know, things have gone pretty crazy when that happens. So the whole idea of talking about Jesus or God is just awkward in our society. What does it mean to talk about God with us? Because that's the theme or the understanding of Christmas, isn't it? God comes into our world at Christmas to be with us. What does that mean? The next verse on the slide, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never live in darkness. They will have the light that gives life. I am the light of the world. I really like the way in which the song we sang picks that out in reverse almost. If you follow in love, you'll learn the mystery of what you are meant to do and be. Because being a Christian is not an academic thing, is it? We understand all the stuff of the Bible through living it. The two personal sharing stories we had over the last couple of Sundays was all about living it. If you follow in love, you'll learn the mystery of what you are meant to do and be. We read all this stuff, but it's in the living of it that we discover the things that are beyond us, that we don't fully understand. And we often discover that in the midst of our tears. I mean, like, who can really explain the death and resurrection of Jesus, except that somehow it impacts our lives and changes us and fills us in a different way? There was a quote I read from Albert Einstein, and we probably need about an hour to unpack it, but on the next slide, he talks about mystery, and he goes like this. He says, Albert Einstein was perplexed by mystery, and he said, try and penetrate with our limited means the secrets of nature, and you will find that behind all the discernible laws and connection, there remains something subtle, intangible, and inexplicable. In other words, my friends, our journey of life includes mystery, doesn't it? And like when we look at the stars at night, it's like insane to think of all the different planets in the solar system that we're a part of. I often think I'm like this little ant trying to describe the universe in which I live. My understanding is limited. There is a lot of mystery that happens. And I guess that not knowing and not wanting to know is a sort of dilemma. I mean, when I was in India, I was walking down the street and this guy came up to me and said, hey, Christian man, do you want to know your future? And I looked at him and went, no, I think I'll pass. But what would you do if someone gave you a book and said, hey, in this book is your entire life, right up until when you die, how old you die, you know, your favorite colors, whatever it is. Put your hand up if you would read a book that contained your entire life in advance. How many of you would read that book? Put your hand up if you, yes. Put your hand up if you're really not sure. Put your hand up if you read somebody else's life. That'd be interesting. Who would not read that book? Yeah. There's a sense in which we like a little bit of mystery, don't we? I mean, like, if we knew our life was entirely planned out and like, okay, Sunday now and at 12 minutes past 10, David's going to hiccup and be embarrassed, you know. If we knew everything, would that really be life? I mean, isn't part of the joy of starting a new year like having a blank board? Like even at any age, I mean, interesting, isn't it? And there is a sense of that mystery. Why are we here? Where are we going? And so I think for me that faith connection involves mystery, the things we're not sure about. And yet, we go into the future knowing that God is with us. So that's a certainty of our faith into the mystery of what this year may hold, whatever that looks like. Some other verses that the song picked up nicely was, you know, to find, to free, to bring hope. And I particularly like the bring hope bit. And I'm just going to get the whiteboard because I got Chloe to do a bit of... Oh, Adrian, yeah, bring... You know, we talk about hope, help other people love. And Chloe's just done a beautiful little drawing. She makes Dave's dodgy drawing look pretty impressive. Not sure if you can see that on the camera. But it's just a beautiful picture of two people holding hands with love hearts surrounding. And it's just a great, you know, how old is she, six? You know, fantastic. Thanks. But it sort of strikes me that what Christians are wanting to do is to bring hope in the mystery. Hope in the mystery. Next slide. Yeah, thank you. The mystery of what we are meant to do is discovered as we follow in love. To find, to free, to bring hope to everything we do. And I really like that, but it's very challenging, isn't it? To bring hope to everything we do, as individuals, family, as a church. How do we bring hope to this year? How do we bring hope to our lives? It's a really interesting. I love that image of walking or bringing hope to not only ourselves but others. How do we bring hope to others? In fact, the other question is, who are those that we need to bring hope to? There's a next slide. I think I've put a massive pile of writing up there. It's actually from the Message Bible, and it's a beautiful image. Let me read it to you. The Spirit of God whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what's ahead. He puts a little of heaven in our hearts so that we'll never settle for less. That's why we live with such good cheer. You won't see us drooping our heads or dragging our feet. Cramped conditions here don't get us down. They only remind us of the spacious living conditions ahead. It's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. Do you suppose a few ruts in the road or rocks in the path are going to stop us? When the time comes, we'll be plenty ready to exchange exile for homecoming. That's a beautiful transition. Sometimes he gets it. Peterson gets it just right. I love that. Talks about, you know, are the pits and rock falls of the road going to put us off in our journey of faith? Is the mystery going to overwhelm us to the point that we lose our perspective? Bringing hope is the critical thing. And as we've talked about Australia Day coming up and our Indigenous brothers and sisters, we know that there are lots of groups of people who are fragmented in our society. And I'm thinking, well, you know, are there groups of people that we can bring hope to? Because that's really what we're trying to do as a community, isn't it? You know, if I thought painting the pink of the church pink would suddenly make everybody more welcome, I would. You know, you might complain. But you know, we're trying to make a difference, aren't we? We're trying to bring hope to people's lives. What does that look like? Who are these people? Are they our neighbours? Are they the people down the road? Are they the Afghanis? I don't know. It's a really interesting question that I hope we continue to explore this year. Let me share a prayer and then I'll ask the team to come up. Well, actually, maybe before I do that, do you want to just turn to the person? Is there anything you've connected with so far in our shorter service today? What's one thing you've connected with out of the songs, the words, images? 20 seconds, you've got, go. All right, you guys, get cracking. Yeah, it's good.
David reminded me of Chris and I going to the Van Gogh digital exhibition in Melbourne.
That's in Melbourne.
12 months or so ago. And I was deeply moved by it, and some of the things, some of the quotes they had up of Van Gogh. One of them was this: love is something eternal. The aspect may change, but not the essence. And the essence of love is our Lord, Jesus, and his love present in our lives, always, everywhere, in every circumstance. And that's what I appreciated about Jackie a couple of weeks ago and Rosalie last week. Their stories are our stories. God present to us. The love of God always present, regardless of what is going on. And that is unchangeable. It cannot be removed. Can we stand and sing? Lord, Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Years ago, a book was written called The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, and this is what he wrote. Everything is not lost when something goes wrong. You must not abandon hope and behave as if things will never improve. And that's really the nature of hope, isn't it? We trust. So as you go into this week, may you be a source of hope for others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace.